In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You guys can have whatever you want. I think Kendrick Lamar is overrated.
Oh!
Way overrated. Oh, oh, oh. It's rap for people like Elliot Shore Parks, who spent 10 years just slurping Kanye, and now they need somebody else.
Why is glazing?
Yeah.
Glazing.
Best cool tune. So that's fine. I can't believe we removed the Rage Against the Machine when we have 3:30 just sitting there. So Jack can play his Pearl Jam, but it's fine.
You can always move Rage to 3.
We could move Rage to 3, but we can move Rage to 3, and then we could put Annie up at 3:30.
Okay.
We could do that. All right. We'll have a little meeting. We'll talk about things.
Okay.
All right. Talk about things. All right. Why don't we do Jack's little segment here? Yeah.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
I mean, there's definitely a chance I'm going to forget about all these moving parts of the little music beds by tomorrow.
You forget about it?
Yeah,
imagine. Now, let me ask you this, Jack.
I don't like where this is going. I was just kidding.
Yeah,
I'll definitely remember.
Forget about it. Imagine if there was one document that had everything we do on the show when we did it. So, wow. In case you weren't here at some point, somebody else would know. So you wouldn't have to send them 10 text messages and they forget about it.
Well, I'd let them know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the other ones are in there.
That's part of his way of maintaining control.
Yes, they don't know where Ike Juice is.
If you don't make that
document. I set everyone up to fail so that no one thinks that they can be comfortable in this seat.
I can't.
That's exactly what he said.
You know what? When you're out on paternity leave, I'm going to have Buzz make the document.
2 weeks.
How do you like that?
2 weeks.
Paternity leave?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus.
This
Christ.
Guy.
Yeah. All right.
I'm crying at the Titanic. I can't.
All right. See how he redirects?
Yep.
So what happened today is the top five callers that live rent-free in Spike's head.
Oh. I don't like this one.
And Ike, I'm going to need you to let me know if I have this in the right order.
Okay.
All right.
Now, number five is not a caller specifically,
okay,
but also equal members of the show, and that is the text line in general. The text yeah. line does live rent-free in Spike's head.
I think
there's a part of him that dreads it every single day at 5:45.
Yeah. It is a good bit. It comes for me every day.
Well, Elliot gets it a lot as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And Ike.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But no me. But yeah.
It's amazing how none of the texts say anything about bad about Jack.
Yeah, well, listen. What can you do? Number four, the fourth caller that lives rent-free in Spike's head. And this is an ongoing rivalry that I don't see ending anytime soon. Is Chuck and Mount Airy.
Oh, well.
Well, so can I disagree on this one?
Sure.
Okay. He does not live rent-free in my head.
Do you think you live rent-free in Chuck's head?
I do. I think it's the other way around. Now, I know the rest of these probably do live rent-free in my head. I can think of two of them that I'm sure will be on this list. I'm trying to think of the third. Chuck does not live rent-free in my head, actually. Chuck, the things that live rent-free in my head are people who, because you know I love arguing. And the people who just keep bobbing and weaving, those guys and who are relentless, those are the people who live rent-free in my head. Chuck just screams. So I love Chuck. I'm sorry that he chose the midday show over us, but I don't agree with this one. Ike, I don't know what your opinion is, whether Chuck lives rent-free in my head.
I think you nailed it. I don't think he lives rent-free in your head the way some of the other callers that
sure.
Jack may put on the list
yeah.
there.
But also a quick trigger when Chuck was at his peak.
Yeah.
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 See, rent-free would mean, like, now he still thinks about it, which I don't.
No.
I think Spike has been freed of Chuck.
Yes.
I think so, too. Yeah. Third is OG Wade.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because you can just see it coming. He'll make the one comment.
Uh-huh.
And you can always tell when one comment goes too far. Elliot does it to where Spike goes, I got to argue that.
Yep.
And OG Wade does it as well. I mean, OG Wade is a master at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. To a point where sometimes...
Mike does me a solid.
Well, no, but here's the thing I'm wondering. No. OG, I think he knows he's getting under your skin a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me thinks that's part of why he's calling up to do it. Like, he wants to do his little rhetoric and get his little, you know, Jalen Hurts stuff out there.
Yep.
But then he also wants to see if you'll go back and forth with him.
And then he acts disappointed when I do. He'll be like, will you let me talk? And
well, he needs his little monologues.
Yeah. Well, the thing that...
I remember, I lived this with OG.
Yes. And you guys had some rough moments.
We had some battles.
Yeah.
And I knew when he called, I knew that's what was about to happen.
And going into every OG call, I say this to myself. I go, and there, I have practice with this because there are some...
Don't get triggered.
People in my life that can do this to me. So we put OG on the air, and I say to myself, I am not doing it this time. I'm just going to let him say. But if you just let him roll, it'll go for 10 minutes.
He'll keep going.
And he'll say something, much like Elliot will. Like you said, Jack, Elliot, you'll be like, I'm not fighting with Elliot. And then he'll go, I actually think that Nick Sirianni is better than Bill Belichick. And I'm just like, I like Sirianni, but you're... Yeah.
It's always one step too far.
Well, today was also a vintage performance when he said, last year actually wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah. When it was just because it was the year after the Super Bowl.
When you put it in context.
Yeah.
Second callers that live rent-free in Spike's head. And now, to your credit, and I think our credit, this one's being conquered by one great song that defines our nation. But Eurojohn, for a good portion there.
I forgot about Eurojohn.
Yeah. I mean, Jokic versus Embiid.
Yep.
Now we play the national anthem over him.
Yeah.
To let him know who's boss. But for a period there, I think he still lives rent-free in your head.
Yeah, he has gotten to a point where I just know he's ridiculous and I'm going to let it happen. I actually think I've reversed it on Eurojohn, and I think I live rent-free in his head to a certain extent.
And it did get to a point where Eurojohn's brother to tell him that you sound psychotic on the radio.
Yes.
Which he does.
Who is Eurojohn's brother?
Eurojohn told us that his brother told him he sounded psychotic.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then he proceeded to sound psychotic in the call.
And then me guessing that Eurojohn got thrown out of the Sixers locker room is one of my best guesses of all time. I had no idea that was actually true.
And again, before you returned, I had battles with Eurojohn too.
Yes.
Well, especially the Embiid's MVP season.
Yes.
When it was coming down between both of them. Yeah, that was a two-year bout because Embiid finished runner-up 2 years in a row.
He was.
Yeah, so that was like a two- or three-year bout there with Eurojohn with me, too.
Well, he always drives, I think, this show crazy when he goes, he's got to get the post.
Right.
Yes.
And he's got to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it's 1982.
Yeah. It was his ugly little game.
And the truth is, Embiid should have won the MVP the year before he won the MVP.
Yes.
And that makes the argument even... It goes on longer because you can make a better argument for Embiid winning it that
second year.
He should
have won it that second year,
All right.
Yep. But number one is evident every single time they get on the line together is Kenan Sinemensa.
He does.
Yeah. Absolute rent-free.
He does.
It always seems so nice in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Really does. Like when the phone call starts. And then there's just that moment where it's a little condescending, Spike, if you would turn on the tape. I know you won't, but if you did, and I just know it's over. And it's going to turn into 4 minutes of a slinging contest.
Well, the one thing about that call... Sometimes I don't know if Spike's going to throw the first lick.
Yeah, I know.
Because sometimes Spike may decide, you know what, I'm not putting up with the nonsense today. If he even thinks about saying the wrong thing, I'm unloading on him.
Yeah. Now, Ken doesn't call a lot
often,
to our
right,
show.
Exactly.
OG, I know the rhythms of it.
Yes.
Ken, not so much. The thing that Ken does is even if he agrees with me, he will frame it in a way that I'm dumb because I don't agree with him enough or something. I think that's what happened yesterday. I was just like, what do we disagree on here, Ken? So, all right. This hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Right after. I talk about Gaida. You can talk about the Tasty Cakes.
Oh, two floaters.
Oh, nah. I just got our sponsorship here.
Okay,
because, you know, Gaida sponsors the 5 o'clock hour. And that's it right. is the year-end sale over at Gaida, which goes till December 31st. 40% off any expertly installed window or door. Call Gaida at 877-GO-GAIDA or visit goguida.com. We'll get to Ken right after Ike tells you about Tasty Cake.
Tasty Cake. Tis the season for Tasty Cake. Now, the chill in the air means it's time to snag those limited edition Tasty Cake treats. Enjoy your favorite holiday flavors like Frostbite Donuts. How about the salted caramel cheesecake pies? Or try warming up the family with some hot chocolate and mint chocolate candy cakes. Hurry over to your local store right now to stock up on the best flavors of the season, because the holidays aren't complete without your favorite Tasty Cake treat. Grab these treats before the season ends and make today tasty with Tasty Cake. Except no substitutes.
215-592-9494. Oh, there he is. Just on cue. Ken and Cinnaminson. You're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Good afternoon,
what
Ken.
What up, Ken?
So first of all, who didn't cry when Ray Kinsella asks his father to have a catch?
Oh, I did cry. Yep.
Of Field of Dreams.
That's what I'm saying. Is this Field of Dreams?
Yeah.
Anybody with
oh, yeah. Ike doesn't like Field of Dreams.
Oh, really?
Well, because I don't like Kevin Costner.
Besides Waterworld.
You love Waterworld, though.
Great movie, Waterworld.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams, thank God that James Earl Jones was in there.
He was good in it as well.
Yes.
I cried at that point. You know what might be a good next question for tomorrow is movie you cried during?
Okay.
Might be a good one. I agree, Ken. I cried during that as well.
And Jack, most people actually think I am a nice guy. I mean, I brought Elliot a bottle of wine that you can only get at the winery in Napa Valley, and we adopted a dog that was abandoned in a Rubbermaid tote a few weeks ago. So, I mean, you know.
Oh, wow.
It's just that, Spike, I have a confession to make. I spent most of my career interviewing people, not like a journalist, but like interviewing people to get
for jobs.
Confessions out of them.
Yep.
No, to get confessions out of them and stuff like that.
Oh, are you a cop?
Sounds like it.
I'm not. But I'll leave it at that. But
this guy.
Oh wow!
You do seem like a little. Are you little CIA?
Yeah. Are you part of the deep state, Ken?
I am. I am not. I live in New Jersey, so that's as deep. That's as deep a state as I.
Okay.
Have.
All right. Fair enough.
But you know, I do have an innate ability to identify exactly how to really get under somebody's skin, and I love to do it to you because you. You push back, and I enjoy that. So.
Yeah, I wanted to say,
ooh,
Ken.
Wow, Ken's playing a little game with.
Well, no, I want Ken to know that people like Ken are the callers.
Yes.
I don't want to give the perspective. I don't want people to think that I dislike a caller like that. I actually, even though you exhaust me, I enjoy those calls because I need a little bit of the fighting during the show. So I give you credit. You do know how to get under my skin. I know a couple people in my life who are good at that as well. You are excellent at it. So,
you did say during the text line yesterday that you hated me.
But I don't.
Well, that was a text line.
Yeah.
I don't take that personally.
No, you know? No.
The text line was inferring. There was no Spike written on the text line.
Yeah, right.
Now, why wouldn't we want to extend Nick Sirianni? I mean, I know he's no Brian Daboll, but he does have the highest winning percentage.
Go to hell, Kat.
NFL head coach.
I think the argument... Even though Elliot said that they should extend him, I thought the one thing he said that I thought was the best argument against it, even though I think they should, is that once again you're making Nick the story in the middle of the season, and that has not gone well for them historically. So I think that is a better argument against it than let's see what happens in the playoff game, or because you could always fire him if they lose the playoff game. But I do think, even if you extend him, I think it's a fair worry to have.
Yeah.
That if you do it now, you're once again making Nick, and then they go and they lose the next game.
Be a story.
Yeah. I think that's the best argument against it.
The flip side of that argument is that, you know, you've got a bunch of core players here that are under contract for a few years here, and it's obvious that these guys love playing for Nick. And it's not because he's giving out orange slices after practice. So there's a reason why these guys love playing for him. There's a reason why you constantly hear these guys, whether it's Jordan Mailata when he's on your show,
yep.
Brandon Graham, or Saquon Barkley, who's been here for 15 minutes, and they're constantly quoting Nick Sirianni when they get an opportunity to talk about some of this stuff. There's a reason why they love playing for him, and so if you extend him, it sends a message to these core guys that are also under contract. Hey, you guys, we're going to keep the band together because we believe that you guys are going to give us a parade down Broad Street. So I don't think that that's necessarily a bad message to send to the core of this team that's under contract for several years. And let's face it, I mean, he's got the highest winning percentage of any active NFL head coach. You cannot argue with the results. And I am so loving listening to the callers that all of a sudden are calling about how much they've always been behind Nick Sirianni. You know, because I remember about 5-6 weeks ago looking on the Sirianni bus, and I was the only guy on the bus. There might have been one other guy in the bathroom, and somebody was driving that thing, and otherwise there was a lot of empty seats. And now somebody keeps bringing a bell, and we keep making all the stops. And it's just amazing to see.
It is. And you know what, Ken? It's because I was on that bus with you. I might have been driving the damn bus myself. But I also understand fans, right? Fans, when things aren't going well, they want answers. They want results. And they also want to be able to look at somebody to blame them and hold them accountable. I'll say this. I think he's going to get an extension. I honestly believe that. I think the Eagles are more than happy with Nick Sirianni as a head coach. I think his ability to be, I guess, open and willing to be flexible as far as he sort of dialed back some of the things that he would do naturally and instinctually from a, you know, displaying his passion and being a fiery coach and things of that nature. I think they wanted him to dial a little bit of that back. He's certainly been able to do that. And the ball club responds to him. And that's what's most important. That's your best argument. It's the best argument for Nick Sirianni. It's the argument I was making. It was just harder to make when you lose 6 out of 7 games and you end the season the way they did last year. But when players were coming out and saying, it ain't the coach, right? Like when it was basically pawned off as, well, what else are they going to say? You know, or those are the veteran guys. When it was Fletcher and it was Jason Kelsey, guys like that talking about how much they love playing for Nick Sirianni, and it wasn't his fault. I think the organization believes in Nick Sirianni. I think they don't want it to be a distraction right now to the team as to why they would do it. But he, barring another collapse, he's getting an extension at some point this offseason.
The other thing I'd say is there is, to some extent, there is a players know what to say in public, even though they don't always.
Yep.
But they do say the same things off, like when
that's
when
the thing. Yeah. They're saying it off the air or when they're not in an interview.
And not to say anything that anyone has said to any of us, you know, specifically. But the players like rap on Sirianni does not change. Like if they're not being recorded and it's off the record, it's pretty much the same. And when you have that paired with the success, one or the other, I think you could have the question. If they all backed him, but they continually stunk, then it doesn't matter they back him or
exactly.
not. But they continue to win and they back him. And I do think I continue to say I don't think the organization put him in the easiest position this year. And he didn't handle it very well in the start, I don't think, but I do think he turned it around. And to be humble about what you're good at and what you're not good at and what you should do and what you shouldn't do and being willing to change, you don't always find people in those positions who are willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Even listening to the offensive line about what we should do differently on offense, there are some coaches, and we've had them here, who would just say, hey, just you do your job, I'll do my job, I'll call the plays, and you run them.
Run
and,
the plays.
But he was willing to listen, and they adjusted, and it turned around their season. And there's a lot to say for that. So he's not perfect, and I think he deserved criticism after the Browns thing, and I think he will probably do things again that deserve criticism. But you can be criticized without saying this guy shouldn't have the job anymore.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, if we win the Super Bowl, how are we going to move off of Nick Sirianni so we can keep Kellen Moore? I mean, that's the kind of stupidity that we had to listen to all summer long. I want to see if we have a parade down Broad Street in February, if there's people calling this radio station saying we got to fire the head coach because they're going to lose Kellen Moore. Because
nobody's. I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, it won't. I can promise you, we won't take those calls.
May have one.
July, yeah. Right? Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we might get it when they're 0-1 the following year.
Yes.
But not till then. All right, Ken. Appreciate the call.
I don't hate you, brother.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Happy
you
Thanksgiving.
Too,
Ken. All right. That was a good good little bit there you had there, Jack, for the top five. I thought.
Awesome, yeah.
I'm glad that Ken and I have a friendly
a working relationship.
Yeah, working relationship.
A working relationship.